Or maybe not even a job description at all. Nothing that was clearly stated. And that can be very frustrating, can it? You don't know how to measure your productivity because you don't know exactly what's expected of you. When you get reprimanded at work, you don't realize why, because they haven't told you what they wanted you to do, and so they're getting you for not doing what they haven't told you what to do. And that can be confusing, it can be frustrating. And as I observe parents, and I watch parents, I see a lot of parents that don't have a clear understanding of their job description. I see a lot of parents that are missing out on a job description, and they don't understand what falls under their responsibility, what doesn't fall under their responsibility. A lot of parents don't know how to measure their effectiveness because they don't have a clear job description. So what do? They fumble around, confused, and they grab the best thing they can, and a lot of them will try to copy their parents' methods and hope for different outcomes. That doesn't work so well, does it? Or another thing that you'll see has happened is they'll try to reverse their parents' methods, and they'll end up having this pendulum swinging far to the other extreme, which can be just as bad. So as I look at parents that don't have a good, clear job description, they don't understand exactly what goes into parenting. I mean, well, we don't get a job description, do we? I mean, just last year we had our first child. We didn't have any nurses come in there and give us a little 5-page stapled document. Here's your job description. Here's what you do. You know, so as I see parents that they grab for job descriptions, what I see is I see some perverted job descriptions emerge from this grappling to find some way to some kind of principle, some kind of foundation to base your parenting on. One of the job descriptions I see that pops up is the job description of the sugary sweet parent. All right, some of you guys might see this. Here's what that job description sounds like. This is how it reads. It says, overdo everything with your children. Go everywhere with them. Follow them. Stalk them. Right, you've seen it. Always hover over them. Why? Because they may need you at any moment. Make over your children. Actually, be overprotective. I skipped one there. Make over your children like they are little angels. All right. I've seen another job description emerge here, and it's the job description of the trendy, I want to be your friend parent. All right, we've seen those, haven't we? Being liked by your child is priority one in this job description. You are to be your child's peer. And here's how you do that. You learn how to talk like them. You work on acting cool. You find out the phrases they use. You find out their language. You dress cool. Because nothing says I'm your peer like a 40-year-old woman dressed like Britney Spears. Last part of this, the kind of the end goal of this job description is identify with your child. You know, in order to identify with your child, you must also be a child. Don't worry, they'll respect you for it. And last, another job description I see creep up here is the spineless parent. Oh, be very careful. Don't hurt your children's feelings because they're fragile and precious. Never be forceful. Never step up and take the lead because everyone in the house is equal. Your child has the right to scream all they want in a public restaurant. Right? That's their right. Your teen can make choices for themselves. They don't need your help. You know, these parenting styles, you know, we have a little bit of a laugh at them. But the scary thing is that this is reality. And we don't have to go so far to find the reality of these job descriptions. They've crept into each of our homes. And it's scary to see that. Some of you were laughing at some of them. Other ones were popping up on the screen. You're like, hey, that's not funny. That works, I think. So what we want to do is we want to evaluate that, and we want to get rid of these false job descriptions. We want something that's solid, something we can come to, and we can say, all right, here is my job description. We want to clearly understand that. So let's take a couple verses and let's look at the role of a parent. We'll be looking at Ephesians. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll be turning over to Colossians, which is only a couple pages away. No, Ephesians chapter 6, rather. We're going to verse 4. Chapter 6 in Ephesians, it's just after the passage we read last week. Part of the end of that passage, actually. Now, as you guys are turning there, nope, that comes later, sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, let's go on and read that. Chapter 6, verse 4. Too much caffeine between the services. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now flip over to Colossians. It's just two books away there. You'll pass Philippians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, fathers, do not... You guys there? It's only a couple pages away. All right, fathers, verse 21 of chapter 3. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Wait a minute. I thought you said we were going to look at parenting. Both these verses address who? The father. Well, as I look at these verses, I really think we can take these and look at them as parenting, because Paul's addressing the husband. He's addressing the father. Last week we learned the role of the father, the role of the husband. Husband's head of the household, isn't he? So here Paul is giving instructions to the quarterback that are to be applied to the whole team. All right? I believe we can take these and say, all right, Paul's addressing the leader of that family with the expectation that the other parent, the other part of that team, is going to keep up with these things as well. They're going to be working together. So I believe that we can also apply this wisdom to the single parent. And we can say, well, this is going to be good advice for the single parent. So from these two verses, we can gain some wisdom out of these two verses. We can gain some do's and some don'ts. So let's look at the don'ts. Let's look at the do nots. Do not exasperate or embitter them. It's from both of those verses, Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. Do not exasperate or embitter them. And that's simple enough. Simply, don't push them so hard that they are angry or frustrated because they can't live up to your expectations. And don't hold them down so much that you break their spirit and turn them bitter or sour. All right, so we're starting to have some boundaries now on the role of a parent. We've got some, do not do this. Don't go so far over here. So now let's look at what's a parent to do. Combination of these two verses, we can pull out. We can say, we do train, instruct, and encourage. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We've just uncovered a good deal of the job description that we're building today. We know what we should do as a parent. Now, what's the end product? Because, I mean, job descriptions, that's what you want. You want, where am I headed with this job description? What am I headed for? What's our end product? What is our end game? What's the goal of parenting? What is our objective? What are we shooting for as parents? Well, we want our children to leave the house, don't we? Isn't that right? All right, well, let's expound on that a little bit. Not only to leave, but we want them to leave in a way that they can be productive in life and find fulfillment in everything they do. Right, parents? Yeah? I mean, that's the goal. That's what we want. Ultimately, when it all boils down to it, that's what you want as a parent. So, in our training, our teaching, and our encouraging, we have an end game. We have a goal in mind. So with that all, let's put this together and let's get a job description that we can use universally, all of us as parents, to be able to use this. A job description for parents, and here it is, to train, teach, and encourage so that they may leave equipped to live a fulfilling life. Would you agree that this is a biblical job description? Yeah? Pretty simple job description, isn't it? That's not a five-page document. That's something you can fold up and put in your pocket. That's something you can use every day. That's something that's simple enough that you can actually share that with other parents who might be struggling. Or if you're a grandparent, you can share it with your children as they're trying to parent. Now, what you want to do with this job description now is put it to use. And the way you put it to use, you filter everything that comes in through this job description. Say, all right, does this fit my job description as a parent? If so, then put it into practice. If not, then say, well, why am I doing this? Where did this come from? Because our job is not to be our child's friend. Our job is not to show them equality. Our job is not to live for our children, or worse, to live through our children. Our job is simply to train, teach, and encourage them so that they may leave equipped to live a fulfilling life. Now, this job description will outline the remainder of our time in the next 3 weeks. Today, for the rest of the time that we have here, we're going to be talking about training. We're going to pull out that first piece. Next week, we're going to be talking about teaching and encouragement. And the last week, we're going to break down a little more that goal, that hope of parenting, what we're headed towards. So today, training. What is training? You know, if you want to put a basic definition on training, training is to cause, coach, or mold to mode to a mode of behavior or performance. All right, training takes place over time with continuous repetition, with consistent repetition. You look at a martial artist, you know, you go, if you took a trip today into a dojo, and you'd see them in there, and they'd be practicing their punches hundreds of times, the same punch, over and over and over again. Even if they get one perfect, ooh, that one was perfect, they don't stop. They keep going, because the idea is they're wanting to form habits of how they're going to punch. You look at a professional basketball player, these guys can sink free throws all day long. Does that mean they don't still train? No. You go to practice, they're going to be shooting free throws sometime or another. Training is something that happens over time, and it's repetitious behavior. It's consistent behavior. So what does training involve when it comes to our children? What do we have to do over and over and over again with consistent repetition to develop lasting habits for our children so that they will have a productive, fulfilling life? Well, training first involves the example we give them, the example we give through our own life. That's the first part of training. I won't be the first to tell you. I certainly won't be the last to tell you. I guarantee it's not rocket science. It's not an original thought. But here it goes. I got to say it. Your children will imitate you. You think, well, you just wasted a few seconds of your sermon. We know that to be true, don't we? We've heard it. We've witnessed it. We've seen it happen. We've watched it happen with other children and their parents. We've watched it happen in our own households. So if we've seen it, we've heard it, we know it to be true, then why don't we act like we know this to be true? Why don't we put that into practice and say, hey, I know I'm an example for my child to follow. He's going to imitate me. That's the first step in this training process. We need to be able to give our children an example to follow. If we want them to develop good habits in life, we have to give them good habits to look at. Now, as we move on, another thing that we need to do as parents is we need to be able to set out boundaries for them. We need to mark out the field, right? They need to know when they're out of bounds or they're in bounds. They need to know when they've scored a touchdown, don't they? They need to know where the field goal uprights are. They need to know when they've hit a foul ball or when they've hit a home run. The only way you know those things in a sports arena is because they have marked out the field. They've showed you clearly, here is what happened. Here's out of bounds. Here's a line. I know a few weeks ago, I was playing volleyball with some friends here from church. And it was just a pickup game. We took a couple sandals and we threw them out in the corners. Those are our boundaries. You just kind of imagine an invisible line from the pole to the sandal and to the sandal to the other sandal, the sandal back to the pole. And if you had a ball that hit near that invisible line, it was hard to tell if it was in or out. It didn't matter. We were just playing for fun. We were playing volleyball, just kind of hanging out. But parents, we must do a better job of laying out boundaries and just throwing a pair of sandals out and saying, all right, there's the corners. Imagine the rest of it. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of parents do with their boundaries. They're not very clear about what goes on. We have to clearly mark them off. They have to be definite lines. Here's inbounds, here's out of bounds, here's a touchdown, here's how you score, here's a home run, here's a foul ball. We need to mark boundaries off that are going to assist us in our job description. The goal is for them to leave equipped to live a fulfilling life, a productive life, So set up boundaries that are going to train your children to form these habits that will help them to be productive in life, to live a fulfilling life. And let them know that you're giving them these boundaries for that purpose. Parents, married parents, you need to talk about these things. You need to be clear about these boundaries. Date nights, we talked about those last week. It wouldn't be a bad topic for a date night. Dinner. All right, let's look at our boundaries. Let's reevaluate them. Let's make sure they're solid. Let's reline the field. Sometimes when you play a bunch of ball, those lines will fade a little bit. You got to go out there and reline the field. Sometimes we got to do that, parents. We got to reline that. And we need to be together on that. We need to talk about it. We need to be clear, husband and wife, as mom and dad, so that we can clearly present those to our children. So once you're clear on it, you need to take those to your children and say, here are the boundaries. I'm not throwing out sandals anymore. That's unfair to you, and I'm not doing my job as a parent. So we're going to change things. I'm going to draw out lines. We're drawing out lines together, and here they are. Single parents, make sure you understand what these boundaries are going to be. Think about it. Talk about it. Write them down. You don't have that the benefit of that extra partner, but you can still do this. And then take them to your children and say, here are the boundaries. And after you mark out the boundaries, then the next piece there is that we have to know how to enforce those boundaries. An athlete gets penalized when they step out of bounds, don't they? They foul. Not only do the boundaries need to be communicated clearly, but you need to enforce these boundaries with clear communication as well. They need to know what the penalty is for stepping out of bounds. You need to present a united front to your children on these boundaries and the penalties for these boundaries. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Because enforcing these boundaries is called discipline. I told you we were going to be talking about this, and I'd like to take just a few moments. Take a look here in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, this is a great passage on how God disciplines us. And it gives us great instruction on how parents should behave. Because in between the instructions on how God disciplines us, it says, oh, well, this is how your earthly parents do it. And here's how we apply this to God. Well, what we do is we get some really neat things, because in between the lines, we get these expectations for earthly parents in this section. As well as a description of how God disciplines us. Now, as you guys are turning there, this is where I was wanting to split off. In the Proverbs 13, I'll show it up on the screen here, so you won't have to worry about flipping back Old Testament, New Testament. You can hold your finger there. And Hebrews 12. But discipline is an unavoidable part of training our children. It needs to be done, but it needs to be done carefully. Some parents think, well, I've disciplined my kids. I beat them on a daily basis. You know, not always what's going on there. We're going to talk about beatings, actually, sort of. All right. You guys are going to hate me. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry, because this is for your good. Proverbs 13 is a famous verse that a lot of us are used to seeing. He who spares the rod hates his son, right? Don't spare the rod. Folks, we got to read the rest of that verse too if we're going to understand discipline. It says, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. See, discipline has to be done carefully. Discipline has to be something that is well thought out. It has to be as thought out. The penalties have to be as thought out as the boundaries are. So let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. And let's get some guidance on how to discipline with carefulness, how to discipline with care. At the beginning of in the middle of verse 5 of chapter 12, Paul quotes from the Proverbs, some more wisdom on discipline. Proverbs 3, verse 11 through 12 is what he's quoting. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. First thing that we need to learn about discipline, parents, is that discipline is an act of love. It is an act of love. If you love your child, discipline them. If you discipline your child, then you ought to do it out of love. You can't separate these two. Discipline and love go hand in hand. Proverbs 12, verse 1 states something very bluntly. He says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't edit that. That's NIV right there. So let me instruct you biblically, parents. Don't be stupid. Love discipline. And discipline with love. It's an important piece of our job description. As we continue reading in Hebrews, we're going to see that it's our responsibility. Continue with me in verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? As a parent, it is your responsibility to discipline your children. He says, for what son is not disciplined by his father? See, here in Hebrews chapter 12, it is assumed that fathers are disciplining their children, that parents are disciplining their children. He doesn't feel like it needs to have instructions. He assumes it's happening already because it's our responsibility. That's your kid. You're their parent. It is in our job description to train our children. This involves disciplining them. It is our responsibility. Also, in this section that we just read, we see that discipline brews respect. We have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. That's what it says. You know, I've heard a lot of parents talk about respect. My children don't respect me. I can't get them to respect me. I'll throw something out here. Maybe it's because you're not disciplining correctly. I'm not saying it's not because you're beating them. Maybe you're beating them fine. But discipline has to be careful. It has to be a very concentrated effort, something that's very conscious. We must discipline in love, and we must discipline carefully. And through that type of discipline, our children will learn respect. Continue with me in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. It says, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Notice that the Bible says that no discipline is pleasant. It's painful, isn't it? See, pain is a strong motivator, isn't it? Pain will make you move faster than you thought you could move. It will. Pain will make you do things that you never thought you'd do. Sometimes it'll make you say things that you probably shouldn't say. Pain is a strong motivator, and in the same way that you cannot separate love from discipline, you cannot separate pain from discipline either. Discipline, told you guys you're going to hate me for a few weeks, but you're going to love me later in life. Discipline has to be painful. It has to be painful to work. They go hand in hand. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. Guys, it's our responsibility to discipline our children. We look at our job description. What do we want the end goal there? That we want them to leave our house to be able to live a fulfilling life. We want to equip them, and they need to have folly driven from them, and the tool to do it is discipline. Not just beating them senseless. Discipline. Careful discipline. Discipline as an act of love. Discipline that's been well thought out. As we mold and guide and as we train our children, they need to know when they've stepped out of bounds. They need to know when they have stepped out. And they need the penalty to help them to learn where that line is. Now, the penalty has to be painful enough to discourage their behavior, but careful enough that it doesn't discourage them. Remember our rules earlier, the do-nots. You don't want to embitter them. See, an error on either side of that fulcrum doesn't give effective discipline. It doesn't give correct discipline. It doesn't give careful discipline. Too soft, and they'll step over that boundary every time, won't they? Too hard, they won't want to step back on the field. So we have to be careful. And that fulcrum moves with each child. You guys have had multiple children. You know what I'm talking about. Some children need a lot of pain. It still has to be moderated carefully. It still has to be seen as an act of love. They have to understand that it is an act of love, no matter how painful it is. Some children, it doesn't take a whole lot of pain to motivate them. So we have to be careful where that fulcrum is. Check and see where I'm at. I don't want to leave anything out. Oh, grace. Sometimes there'll be times that you want to offer your children grace. You know, parents will want to do that. We're made in the image of God. Our God is a graceful and a merciful God. So in those times, I want to just give you some advice. When you're going to offer your child some grace, be very clear about what grace is. Let them know you have made an offense. You've stepped out of bounds. You should get a penalty. My discipline right now, my choice, is to give you grace. Make it a teaching moment so they can understand what grace is. Make it clear to them that they deserve something for what they did. But this time, I'm going to give you grace. All other times that you're not giving grace, make sure you follow through with your penalty. Do not make empty threats, parents. You lose respect. You lose trust. And you lose the ability to discipline your children correctly. Last, on discipline. Discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Parents, there's much more at stake than just training your child to not touch a hot stove or not run out in the street or not hit their brother. Disciplining your children has spiritual ramifications. And that's where this really gets tough. We're told it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. See, when you discipline your children, you are training them to be the child of God that God created them to be. You're trying to drive out that folly so that they can grow up and be the person that God made them to be. And if you avoid discipline, that also has spiritual ramifications. Let me share a couple proverbs with you that will help drive home the importance of careful, painful, loving, and clear discipline. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, "Discipline your son. In that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death." Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." I believe I'm safe to assume, without having to ask for everybody to raise their hands, that none of us want to be responsible for the spiritual death of our children. And that's tough. That's tough to share that. It's tough to bring it. It's tough to accept that. But as we discipline our children, we're helping them to understand what discipline's about. We're helping them to understand that discipline is a good thing, that discipline can help us move into positive directions. We're helping them to understand what God's discipline is going to be on their life. We're helping them to understand boundaries that separate heaven from hell. So discipline your children. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning, there at the bottom of your bulletin, to finish up the what training consists of, is the importance of consistency. I cannot stress the importance of this when it comes to training your children. We talked about training. Training is something that is repetitious behavior. It happens over and over and over again. We have to be consistent, parents. Your boundaries have to be consistent. Your discipline has to be consistent. Your personal actions and your example that you present before them, it has to be consistent. Your children need consistency. It gives stability, it builds trust, and it nurtures respect. Consistency tells your children, "I will not give up on you. No matter how many times I got to discipline you, no matter how stubborn you are, no matter how difficult our relationship may get, I love you and I will not give up on you." That speaks volumes, parents. And that's exactly what consistency conveys to your children.